Hallelujah. I want to give honor to God, honor to Pastor and all the associate ministers and everybody who's out there. And so excited to be in the presence of the Lord today. It's so awesome to see our youth, our young people operating in a service today. Let's give them a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We just thank the Lord for his word. Amen. Amen. So I was praying, asking the Lord, what would you have me talk about today? And so when I went to sleep and I had a dream and I was about to preach and I began to write this scripture down. And then when I woke up, I was thinking, is that what you want me to talk about, God? This is too familiar. I think everybody should have this by now. You want me to talk about this? And so I really wasn't sure, and then a couple days later, I had got a text message of a girlfriend of mine's, the same text. I was like, oh my goodness, I believe this is the word God gave me. This is confirmation, amen. So we just thank the Lord, amen. So if you could turn with me with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. When you get there, say amen. Amen. If you can all stand, if you're able, amen. Amen. New King James Version, and it reads, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. He shall direct your path. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this day, O God. We thank you once again, Lord God, for your word, O God. Sanctify us with your word, O God, and purify us with your word, O God. O God, I pray that I will decrease as you increase, God. God, I pray that you will make the hardest heart soft today, Lord God. God, I pray that someone today will receive a new heart and a new spirit. God, I just thank you for your word is true, O God. O God, have your way right now, Holy Spirit. Have your way in this place. Have your way in this house, oh God. I pray, Lord God, that they don't see me, but they see you, God, that your word will go forth. It will change and convict hearts, oh God, that your word will go forth. It would encourage, God. We thank you, Father God. God, we pray, Lord God, against any distractions, Lord God. God, we pray that healing will be released in the atmosphere, oh God, for those who are hurting, oh God. God, we pray. In the name of Jesus, there is nobody like you, God. We worship you, God. We are thankful for you, God. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way. Have your way, God. Have your way, God, in the young people's hearts, oh God. Have your way, Lord God. Have your way. Have your way, God. I pray anything that may be weighing on the hearts of your people, God, they will begin to release it to you. Every burden, every bit of hurt, every pain, every frustration, every bit of anger, upsetness, jealousy, envy, you will have your way in the hearts and the minds of your people, God, so that when the word go forth, whoever have an ear will hear. Have your way right now, Lord God. Break down every inch of pride, God. every inch of pride that may be in the hearts of your people, God, so that you can completely have your way. We thank you, Lord, and we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, praise the Lord. So I just read before your hearing Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it reads, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and to lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight, amen. This is a very familiar verse, and I believe that if I was to ask you all to say it with me, many of you will be able to quote this verse, amen. Many of you may be able to say it backwards, amen. But I believe it's so easy for us to quote the word, but it's not so easy to do the word. The word tells us to trust in the Lord, to really trust in the Lord, to trust him is to literally have confidence, assurance, and hope in him. And so, like I said, it's something easy that we can quote. It's a very familiar verse. It's a verse that I have heard for a long time now. But when we really understand what it means, we won't just hear it, but we will begin to do it. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, be doers of the word, not just hearers only, otherwise you deceive yourself. So in other words, when it tells us to don't just hear what the word says, but actually do what the word says. So doing what the word says, you know, it's very important. And oftentimes we just throw out the word to people and we tell them, oh, just trust God, you know, just trust God. And we're just throwing the word out there. But When I read Jeremiah 17:9, it tells me the condition of the human heart. It tells me that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? It's deceitful. It says it's desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things, is desperately wicked. Who can understand this wicked heart? It's desperate and it's wicked and it's deceitful. So how can a human being who has this condition with their heart even be able to seek, trust, and do what the word says? How is this possible? We just throw the word out, just trust God, but how can we get to a point where we trust God? We must first be drawn by God. Jesus said in John 6, verse 44, that no one can come to him unless he is drawn by the Father to him. So we have to be drawn. We have to be drawn because in ourselves, we cannot seek God. And so once he is drawing us, I believe that's an invitation to respond. And so our invitation to God is faith. It's faith. God, you know what? I believe with my heart, God. I confess my sins, God. Forgive me, God. I believe by faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's a heart condition, and I just believe when we make that confession and we really believe, a supernatural experience take place and you're born again. Born again, not born from a natural birth as we know, but a spiritual birth. He then gives us a new heart. and a new spirit. That's what he spoke about in the book of Ezekiel. He said, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. Born again. So we must be drawn and we must answer to this invitation by faith. And when we respond to this invitation by faith, most of us may think like, okay, so what do I have to do next? You're still in your same situation. You're still struggling with your sinful nature. See, you might still be the same, but at that moment, you receive the righteousness of God. So we receive the righteousness of God, and through studying the word of God, that's how we get to know God. Do you think it's easy to trust somebody you don't know? That's why a lot of times it's hard for people in the church to trust God, because some of us really just don't know him. Because we have made a routine of just coming to church, but we really never set aside personal time to really get to know the Lord, to really know how he operates, to really know he's a promise keeper, to really know he's a miracle worker, to really know that he's a man that should not lie. See, we really don't really know these things. And when we really begin to know these things, what happens is that we start to, when we're studying the word, our mind starts to be renewed. Romans 12:2, it tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. So when we're in the word of God, our minds are being renewed. See, the old man, what it tell you to do, and sometimes it still tries to rise up, even if you're saved, the old man will say, I don't have to trust God. I can do it myself. See, the old man might not say that in their mouth, but what happens is they do it in their actions. I got this. The old man is conditioned to leaning on its own understanding. The old man, and when I talk about the old man, I'm talking about the sin nature, wanting to do things their way. The old man don't acknowledge God. And see, sometimes you might not understand. Sometimes you may have just been coming to church for a long time and you think like, I mastered this. I got this. You wake up not even thanking God for this day. You go to sleep not even thanking God you made it through the day. Because if it had not been for his mercy and his grace, we wouldn't wake up. We wouldn't lay down. But when we really trust God, we will not trust him with half of our heart. We will trust him with our whole heart. Say, God, I trust you. I don't understand what's happening in my life, God, but I trust you. I don't understand what's going on with the government, the president, whatever, God, but I trust you. I don't understand, for those of you that have children, what's going on with my children, but God, I trust you. I don't understand what's going wrong for those of you that are married with my spouse, but I trust you. I don't understand the trials that are in my life. Every time I try to take one step forward, it seems like I'm going backwards, but God, I trust you. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my finances. I trust you. Do we really trust him? Or are we still trying to figure it out? Are we still trying to make it make sense? Are we still trying to put pieces together when it already have been put together in the beginning? See, God, he knows your beginning and he knows the end. Do we really trust the Lord? Or is this a verse that we can quote? Is this just a verse? When every chance we get that we're leaning on our own understanding, is it just a verse that we quote? Or does it resonate in our heart? Amen. It resonates in our heart. We got to hide the word. It's good. Oh, praise the Lord. We got youth paying attention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good that we teach them at a young age. At a young age, that you can trust God no matter how young you are. You can serve God no matter how young you are. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. When we read the Bible and we look at the verses and we look at the scriptures and we're growing in a relationship with God and we're getting to know Him, it's a process. Amen. We're growing each and every day. Every day we have to make the decision to trust God. When we wake up, we have to really say, Lord, you know what? This day I'm going to trust you no matter what comes my way. Amen. And so we're reading the Bible and we see that there are many men and women of God that are in the Bible and they display their trust in God. And one of the stories I wanted to talk about in Daniel chapter 6, you can all turn there if you want to or you can just listen. I'm going to just tell you the story. In Daniel chapter 6, well, we see that there's a king. He's in charge and he sees that Daniel has a great spirit on him. And so you know what he is thinking about? Setting Daniel in charge. He wants to make Daniel in charge of the whole kingdom. Well, some men get a little jealous about this. Let me just pause right there. We need to stop the jealousy in the church. Some men got a little jealous. And so what they tried to do was find fault in Daniel. They were trying to figure out, they gathered together a meeting and they were trying to figure out, how can we find fault in this guy? He is trustful. He is faithful. What can we do? They came up with a plan. They said, you know what? The only way we're going to find fault in this guy to get him in trouble, if it has to do with him disobeying the law of his God. So they came up with this plan. They said, this is what we're going to do. And they go to the king and they're like, let's get this in writing. And they get the king to have it in writing that this will be the new decree for 30 days. No one should make a petition to God or a man for 30 days. The only one they can make a petition to is the king. And so the king, he's all with it. He don't understand why they're doing this. He don't understand what's going on, but he jumps on board. Sometimes we don't need to just jump on board when we don't know what's going on. So he jumps on board and he has it in writing. And at this time, when you have something in writing, you can't go back and change it. You have to follow through what's in writing. So if a person makes petition to another god, a god or a man, what happens is they get thrown in a lion's den. This was the decree. This was what was in writing. So what happens is Daniel, this guy we were talking about, this faithful guy that they wanted to find fault in, what happens is he hears about this decree. And when he hears about this, he don't complain. And see, sometimes when trials come in our life, we complain. Sometimes we call up someone to talk about what's going on just because we just want to talk about it. You're just tired of what's going on. But see, Daniel, he showed a great example. When he heard about this, he did what he usually do. He got down on his knees. He went up to the upper room, and he got down on his knees, and he prayed 3 times a day, giving thanks to his God. Giving thanks to his God. His whole window was open to the Jerusalem. Whoever wanted to look up, they could see him. But he didn't care. And so the men knew they would catch him praying. So they're like, yes, we found fault in him. They were excited. They go running to the king. And when they go to the king, they were just so deceitful. And those of you that were in Sunday school, we were talking about being deceitful and how God don't want us to be that way. Amen. So they go to the king. Hey, king, remember that petition that we signed? Remember it said if anybody makes petition to another god or another man, that they'll be thrown in a lion's den. And the king said, yeah, I remember that. And you know what? That's what's going to happen. And I'm paraphrasing it. And you know what? That's what's going to have to happen. I can't go back on that. Yeah, king. Yeah. That's it. You know the boy Daniel? The one you like? He was doing that, king. He was doing it. We got to throw him in the lion's den. The king tried his best to not have that happen, but he couldn't go back on what was already written. And so what happened, Daniel, he was thrown in the lion's den for simply trusting in God. He was thrown in the lion's den. That sounds like a sad story, don't it? Sounds like a sad story. But what happened, the text says, the angel shut the mouth of the lion. That's what the text says. The Lord, he sent an angel to shut the mouth of the lion. And so the king, the next day, he couldn't sleep because he didn't feel good about having to do this. And he goes the next day and he says, Daniel, come out. Did your God, the one you serve, did he deliver you? Daniel came up out with no wounds, no cuts, because simply he trusts. It says he trusted in his God. Could you honestly say, if you was in a life and death situation, you would trust God that way? Or would you hide and pray? Would you do it publicly, or would you hide and say, I trust you, God, but I ain't trying to die today. Daniel probably didn't know if God was going to shut the mouth of the lion or not, but all he knew is that I trust God, and for God I live, and for God I will die. It was such a simple act of obedience for him to trust God. And because of his simple act of obedience, the new decree was, everyone fear Daniel's God. He is the living God. He is the God that performed miracles. He is the God that delivered his people. Just because he decided to trust God. See, sometimes the situations that we are in just don't make sense. Sometimes we just really don't understand, and that's why the text reminds us to lean not on your own understanding. See, I just love God because he knows that his people gonna still try to lean on their own understanding. But when we read the word, we could be reminded when we're in this situation that, oh God, I'm not supposed to lean on my own understanding. Oh God, I'm just going to just acknowledge you, knowing that you will direct my path. You will direct my path. You will order my steps. We need to just let go of control. See, some of us just want to be in control of everything. But when we gave our life to God, we were letting go of control and said, God, I give you control over my life. God, I give it to you so that you can make full reign in my life. I don't even want control, God. We got to get to a point where we don't want control instead of trying to figure it out. When we realize Romans 8:28, it says, all things is working together for the good for those who love God, who is called according to his purpose. When we realize that all things is working together for our good, it may not feel good. It may not look good. It may not be our desired outcome. But we know that he is working for our good and for his glory if we belong to him. So we can trust him. A lot of us, it's hard to trust God because we're like, God, I've been praying for the last year, and everything I've asked you for, you said no. I got to figure out how to get a yes. What can I do to get a yes? And so we think the no is just God's just like not there. Some people think the no is maybe God just ain't real. He's not listening to me. But maybe God is saying, you know what? Even if I don't give you what you want, can you still trust me? Even if I have another plan for your life, can you still trust me? Or are you still wondering if I'm real? I already showed you that I'm real. And if you haven't seen it yet, I need you to seek me to know that I am the God I say I am. I am the great I am. God is just, he's real. And some people in here, they're still searching, wondering if he's real. And I want to encourage you, keep searching, keep seeking, keep praying. Don't give up. He's real. And we can trust him. Who wouldn't want to trust a God that it's just so amazing? Like when you look at yourself, you realize, wow, I was created in the image of God. When you look around in the trees and everything, he's created all of this in the light just by speaking it. Who wouldn't want to trust in such a living God? We can trust him. We can literally trust him with our life. Even if you've still been waiting for a yes, you can trust him. Some things God just don't want to give it to us because he thinks we're not ready for it, or it's just not his plan. But will we trust him? Will we get upset, say, man, throw a tantrum like a kid? Oh, I'm just mad. Everything I turn around, something's happening. God wants us to stop complaining. He wants us, because I just believe Daniel, he could have complained. But he got on his knees and he prayed. He did what he usually do. Don't allow the trials of life knock you down to stop doing what you usually do. Amen. That's the devil trying to knock you down. Amen, Sean. It's just the devil. Yes, the devil. He stayed trying to knock us down. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. Yes, hallelujah. But Jesus come that we may have life and have it to the full. Aren't we excited for life? Aren't we excited for life? He literally brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let us stand. He really brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a mighty God we serve. The verse tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let's say all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways. I know y'all know the verse. Come on, let's just say it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct your path. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. We just thank the Lord that he gave us the ability to trust him because the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in us. We thank him that if someone was to confess and believe today, he will give them a new heart and a new spirit. If that is you today, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The Bible also says repent and believe. You can come or confess him right where you are. No matter the sin you did, no matter what you're struggling with, he will receive you right where you're at with open arms. This is an invitation. And all he wants you to do is respond. Don't worry about the person next to you. Don't worry about what people are thinking. If you was to die today, if you're not sure where you will go, I invite you to the altar. Don't allow fear to hold you back. Don't be scared of who's going to look at you. This is between you and God. Would you come? If there is one, would you come? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have your way, God. Your way. Yes, God. You have not given your life to Christ. This can be your last opportunity. If there is just one out there, God may be pulling on your heart. He may be pulling on you, saying, just respond. Tomorrow's not promised. Hallelujah. 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 Have your way, God. Have your way, God. If there's someone out there that's scared to come up, God, I pray you would have your way right where they are at, Lord God. Because I feel it, God. Someone's in here, God. I pray you would have your way right where they are at, Lord God. Touch. Let them confess you right where they are at. Do a work in their heart right where they are at. Thank you, Lord. I need you to survive. We need you to survive. We need you to survive. I just believe that there's someone out here. I just believe that the hurt that you've been through, you don't know what to do. But God is saying, just respond to my invitation. I'm calling you. I'm calling you. I'm calling you. I'm calling you. Come on, just respond. Don't be stubborn. Just respond. Just respond. Just respond. Just respond. Just respond. Respond with a yes, God, I believe. Forgive me of my sins. Have your way in my life, God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose 3 days later. I believe in that. If you believe in that, you are saved right where you're at. Hallelujah. If you don't have a church home and you've been looking and you've been praying, we invite you up here today to join our church. We have an awesome pastor and first lady and deacons and members that will just love on you. If there be one, amen. Amen. God bless you all. It's altar call. Everyone want to come up for prayer.
I want to thank Minister Waiters for that powerful message. And I just want to say, if you felt the Lord tugging at your heart during this service and you didn't have the courage to come to the front and give your life to Christ, see the pastor or one of our ministers after we dismiss. All right? What a powerful service today.
Yes.
Even before the service started, we had witnesses and testimonies of the goodness and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then we were blessed through the service by song, praise reports, and that powerful message. And now we find ourselves standing at the altar before our God. And we are calling upon him right now to hear our prayers and answer as only he can do. Let us pray. Eternal and all-wise God, we come before you right now in the precious name of Jesus. We come, dear Lord, realizing that you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the creator and sustainer. There is no one like you. You spoke and the earth became what it is today. You took the dust of the earth, formed it, shaped it, breathed into it the breath of life, and man became a living being. You are without equal. There is no one like you, God. No one else can do the things you do. And when you wanted to teach us about love, you sent your only begotten Son to die for our sins. But here we are at the altar, standing before you, before your throne of grace. We have come to worship, love, and respect you, Lord God. We adore you. And we ask, as we stand here right now, dear Heavenly Father, that you accept our requests. We admit and acknowledge and confess our sins to you today. And we are committed, but we want to be forthcoming with our sins. We're asking you, Lord God, for forgiveness for all that we've done that was not pleasing in your sight. We are asking, dear Lord, that you continue to love, protect, and care for us as you have done all these years. You have been so good to us that we want to tell somebody about your goodness and your grace. You have looked behind our faults. You have seen our needs. Lord God, how can we forget all the things that you have done for us? We ask you for just a blessing to see us through another week. We thank you for how you blessed our pastor, the officers and members of this church. We thank you for every individual that made their way into this sanctuary today. We ask your blessings upon all those affected by those fires in California. And Lord, there are so many things that we would like to ask you to bless today. Bless the sick and shut in. Not only those that we know of here in our church, but all over the world. Lord, we need you now more than ever before. And Lord, we will continue to trust in you with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, we will acknowledge you so that you will direct our path. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And it's in Jesus' precious name we do pray. And now for the benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Let the church say, amen.